This is a hurricane special report. Hurricane Irene, 2011, with meteorologist Rick DeMaio.
Unfortunately, it's not down to a tropical storm, Mike. So you need less scary music.
Oh, well, this is Scorpions. I had never even heard this.
You've never heard Rock You Like a Hurricane?
No.
Have you been under a rock?
Scorpions Rock You Like a Hurricane, yeah.
I don't know this for some reason.
It's a German metal band.
Yeah, were they referring to weather during that song, Heather?
I don't think so, but the innuendo is what makes it so good.
I would think at the end of it, it's like, oh, my God, that was like a Cat 5.
But now it's down to a tropical storm, huh?
You know what, Mike? I hate to say it, but this was down to a tropical storm late last night.
But they were... Really?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, yeah. You know what? I don't know how to go about saying this nicely, but this was probably one of the most over-forecasted storms I've ever seen in 26 years of being a professional meteorologist. Really?
Oh, you're just breaking my heart here, Rick.
No, I'm not, Mike. Everything was there that said this storm was going to do exactly what it did.
Yeah.
It was going to be a Category 3 for about 12 hours, and it was going to weaken to a Category 2 because it had all this southwest shear, you know, chopping off the top part of it. Then it was going to move into eastern North Carolina as a Category 1, and then it was going to do what Category 1s do, which is produce basically wind of between, you know, 80 and about, you know, 90 miles per hour tops, and it was going to produce a storm surge of about 4 to, you know, 6 feet, and by the time it made it into North Carolina, it was going to weaken. Everything that said it was going to do what it did, it did. Why, I don't know what does happen, but why local officials and the media just gets completely nuts about these things, I just don't understand it. I really do. I mean, I think it's really taken up about probably about 20 years, maybe not 25 years, backwards as far as having public confidence, particularly in large urban areas like New York City.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
This is fascinating because this is not what I expected to hear from you this morning.
Why? I mean,
I'm thinking of
what I've been telling people for the last 3 days, and most, I think, advanced weather blogs have been saying is you're not going to see any wind greater than 60 miles per hour in New York. There's probably about a 20% chance of seeing a storm surge greater than 4 feet, which did occur. Because the surge came in right at high tide this morning in Battery Park. But for the city of New York to evacuate 400,000 people, for the city of New York to shut down the entire mass transit system, and for the city of New York to shut down all three major airports at 12 noon on Saturday was absolutely ridiculous. It was so overblown and so overhyped. There's a lot of people. You know, the funny thing about it is, yeah, I was watching Jim Cantore do some live reports from Lower Manhattan, and behind him is a woman walking this little poodle across the street. What does that tell you? And I'm sure she wasn't singing Rock You Like a Hurricane in the back of her mind.
Poodle don't care. Poodle don't.
No. I just think this has put us back so far with trying to get public opinion on the side of going, you know what, you guys were right. You guys did everything that we were supposed to do. And the thing about it is if you really look at the hurricane forecast, everything was right on except the fact that, and this has happened so many times, is the National Hurricane Center will hold on to a certain category of a storm to allow the hype to meet the hype. Now that may sound like a very odd thing to say.
Wait, you're not telling us that when it was already downgraded to a tropical storm, they were still calling it a hurricane, are you?
Oh, well, No. No one will downgrade it to a tropical storm unless the National Hurricane Center does. But the thing about it is, even yesterday, clearly this was not even a hurricane. They may have been estimating the winds at the surface, you know, to hurricane force winds. This was probably late last night. It was already probably down to a tropical storm after about, I'd say, maybe midnight last night. And clearly this morning there was nothing even showing it close to having winds greater than 74 miles per hour. but they needed to be able to say that it was still a hurricane when it crossed over from New Jersey into New York City. You needed to say that because that saves everybody's you-know-what from saying that they did too much. I've seen this so many times before. And as soon as it passed north of New York City, they go, oh, yeah, it's now a tropical storm now.
Okay, we now have Rick DeMaio's response, which I think can be summed up this way, Rick.
Honey Badger don't care. Honey Badger don't give a
Irene don't care.
You know what? I think if everybody, if Mayor Bloomberg and all the city officials just sort of said, you know what, looks like this is going to be, you know, close to being a hurricane, if not a tropical storm, let's shut down parts of lower Manhattan. Let's make sure that people on the shoreline are evacuated. But to evacuate all those people and to shut down the subway is crazy. Now, one of the reasons why you had to close the airports was because you shut down mass transit. So then you have the inability. You don't have people with the ability to then get to work. You know, I'm watching the Weather Channel now, and there's Stephanie Abrams trying so hard to make it seem like it's really windy behind her. there's about 50 people walking along the boardwalk on Long Beach, waving her arms, going, "Wow, this is great." What does that tell you?
Is she leaning forward, trying to lean so that it looks like there's wind?
But and you know, and the thing about it is, as soon as the people started to come out, they said, "You know what? It's actually not too bad out here." But when I'm serious, about 2 hours ago, they were like, well, the wind's gusting to 46 miles per hour, and the sand is blowing, and the wind is blowing, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's a nor'easter, you know? And this is the problem. What happens is when you get a little bit too much hype going, and it's like a freight train. One becomes two becomes three becomes four. And the same thing happened with Hurricane Gloria, because I worked that night at Kennedy Airport. And Gloria was a Category 5. Gloria was a much more formidable storm ever than Irene was. It was about the same size. It moved through central Long Island as a Cat 1, and there were 90 mile-per-hour winds across eastern Long Island. You had probably 500,000 people without power. That was definitely a storm to reckon with. Now, you didn't have the storm surge in New York that you did with Irene, because Irene obviously was a little bit further west. But the thing about it is, right after that occurred, everybody came outside, particularly in the New York City area, not so much east of Long Island, and said, that wasn't that bad. Why'd you guys over-forecast? And we were like, we never really forecasted hurricane-force winds in the city or along the shoreline. It was all east of Long Island. So I think what happens is we still need to learn a lesson, and you just can't. You know, it's funny because the hurricane center says don't focus just on the track of the storm. Focus on the overall event. But yet, for some reason, the media still doesn't know how to do that. They need to say you're going to have 4 hours of winds greater than 60 miles per hour. That's it. And not just to say you're going to have chances of gusts up to 100 miles per hour. I just don't know why they're so afraid of doing that. And in the end, I think everybody looks silly. It really is. I see it as a dark day in the connection between public opinion and weather forecast. You're going to see a lot of negative reports written about this. And I think the reason why they were able to get away with so many closures of mass transit and the airport was because it was a Sunday. If this would have been a work day, you wouldn't have had that. You would have had a lot of people say, you can't do that. My business is running, but Wall Street is open, or something like that. I think they were able to get away with it because it was a Sunday.
Okay, the question I would ask is, well, what about the power outages and what about the flooding? Obviously, the winds were not that, Heather just had a friend write to her from Boston who says that her power just went out.
Yeah, and she's only upset that she didn't get the coffee made before it happened.
Yeah, and without a doubt, what I'm saying is this did everything a Category 1 and a tropical storm was supposed to do. I talked to my brother in Long Island. He has power. I talked to my brother. I heard his power is out. I talked to my brother in New Jersey. His power is out. But they all said, but it wasn't that windy. And where's the storm surge that everybody was talking about? So you're always going to get power outages with something like this, without a doubt. I mean, you have, I think, what, 500,000 people or 500,000 customers in Connecticut without power, without a doubt. But the mecca of that whole area, which is the New York City metropolitan area, they just totally overdid the preparation for the storm by shutting down the subways and the airports. And they just didn't need to do that. And the thing about it is, I was watching Bloomberg yesterday do all these conferences saying this is a very powerful and dangerous storm. Why not just call it what it is? Say it's a Category 1 hurricane. It's not going to be a 3. It's not going to be 5. It's not going to be Katrina. But there's going to be a period of time where we're very concerned about water breaching the walls of Battery Park, and therefore very concerned about Lower Manhattan. Everybody else should be okay. I just don't know why they find that so difficult to do. Just call a spade, and not color it like it's the worst storm that they've had since the 1938 hurricane.
So
I guarantee you're going to see a lot of backlash from this. You really will.
Wow. I just keep saying wow, but it's this is why I love having you on the show, Rick, because you just call it like you see it, pal.
Well, you didn't need to close 3 airports at noon yesterday. You know the wind at I think it was like 8 o'clock last night was out of the north at like 20 to 25 miles per hour. So what?
And, you know, we're looking at a video here Heather's got, and somebody posted that the headline is Irene turns Times Square into giant slip and slide. So you can tell how scared the people of New York City were.
Yeah, I mean, true. You're going to have, as I've seen before with these storms, massive beach erosion in New Jersey, massive beach erosion on eastern edges of Long Island. And I think what we've learned from this storm is that When a tropical storm or a Category 1 goes right up the coast of New Jersey and basically right over New York City during high tide, and we've known that already, that is when you're at the most vulnerable for potential flooding in Lower Manhattan. And all the storm, what they call these slosh forecasts, which is basically a storm surge forecast, nailed it. I mean, they nailed it. They showed about a 4 to 6 foot rise in water. In addition to the storm surge in Lower Manhattan, it couldn't have been pegged any better. So if that's the case, then prepare for that. Don't prepare for a 15-foot storm surge. Prepare for what you think you're going to get. And even when Hurricane Gloria, or it's the Hurricane Katrina came through, and even Hurricane Ike down around the Houston area, a lot of people said, wait a minute, I live 30 miles from the coast. Why am I boarding up my windows? And all you kept hearing about was people saying, oh, but the wind going through the high-rise is going to take glass and throw it for 20 miles. It's not the case. So the thing about it is all I'm saying here is if we stick to the information that you get and plug it into your rubric or your matrix of what could be the outcome, then call the outcome the outcome. Don't make it the worst possible scenario, which is what everybody kept doing. And it's a shame that we end up having to then say, oh, my gosh, I was watching someone brief Matt Lauer this morning, and Matt Lauer was saying, but I noticed there's no rain south here. And the guy said, yeah, but this rain on the backside is going to be here in a couple of hours. So we urge people not to go outside because when that other band of rain comes through, this could be very, very bad. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Stop talking about someone who's trying to warn everybody, because you know what's going to happen? As soon as the rain stops, what are people going to do? They go outside. So what you should be doing is you say to people, go, look, you're looking at the radar. Everybody has radar now. You have a computer, TV, even if you're not with power, you got it on your phone, okay? People say, wow, it stopped raining, and you know what? It's not that windy. Let's go outside and see what's happening. I think we need to change our approach and realize that the viewer is a lot smarter than they used to be. So we need to tell them, we know that you're looking at the same stuff I'm looking at, and we know you want to go outside. You know what? You're fine. Just be really careful that if there was a tree in your backyard that may have been a little bit on the weak side, or you thought was a little bit on the point of maybe falling over, if there was, you know, disease or something like that, be a little bit more careful. But otherwise, you're fine. And you know what? People go, thanks, as opposed to, why did you tell me not to do that? So in the end, all I'm saying is that I think people just need to realize that the viewer is a lot smarter than what they used to be, and we need to treat them that way.
Rick, all I can say is no more caffeinated coffee for you this morning. None, okay?
I like it.
Well, yeah, we just got a tweet, Rick, from what was it, Oak Parkers?
Yeah.
Yeah, who writes, Rick DeMaio on Mike Now. Talking about the hype surrounding Hurricane Irene. Mainstream media does it again with their hyperbole and focus on shiny objects.
Well stated.
And you know what? I will agree with you in that this is exactly what I was thinking a week ago when the earthquake hit.
And, oh, my God.
And, you know, and I think after a week of this, first the earthquake and the hurricane, maybe we need to take away their shiny objects. Maybe we need to take away their microphones for a while.
I'd love that.
And their camera.
You know, wouldn't that be great?
I think what they need to do is focus on the parts in the storm that are dead, without a doubt. A lot of flooding, a lot of beach erosion, North Carolina. Now, with the storm moving into the interior parts of New York State and New England, you're going to have tremendous flooding up there. Without a doubt, that's what you're going to have. A lot of inland flooding. But call it like it is. Instead of making it much worse than it could be, call it like, because you know what, Mike? This was a Cat 1. If a Cat 3 comes through,
yeah,
you will have tremendous flooding.
Yeah, and how can you blow it up even more? You can say, hey, listen, we know we got excited on the last one, but no, this one really, really, we got to get excited about.
Remember the story about the boy who cried wolf?
Yeah.
Right, and you're only going to have one of these things once every 25 years. The one thing that what's amazing to me is you still haven't heard the dirty word climate change. This is, Mike, this is probably, I think, the fifth or sixth large hurricane over the last 5 years that 10 or 20 years ago we didn't have. Hurricane Ike, Hurricane Rita, Hurricane Dean from a couple years ago, Hurricane Earl last year, which passed off the coast and could have easily done this much, you know, damage, if not worse. But Irene, even though it only went to Category 3 briefly, this was a large, large hurricane. I think this is really what we're going to see from here on out due to the fact that the waters of the ocean and the atmosphere just is a little bit warmer than it was, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. And I think that'll probably come back into the weather hyperbole over the next couple of years. But right now, I think people are trying to keep it, you know, somewhat subdued.
That is interesting, though, that you're not hearing that connection.
Oh, you're not. You're not. But it's out there. Trust me, these hurricanes have been getting larger and larger over the last few years. Each one seems to be, you know, in this, you know, 200, 300 mile wide range of tropical storm.
Well, this is why Rick DiMaio is on the Mike Novak Show. He is the most opinionated meteorologist in town, and we love it.
At the same time, it's based on quantitative reasoning and not qualitative.
If we get rain on Tuesday, I want you on the shores of Lake Michigan in the rain going, it's starting to rain! And I want you to lean. I want you to lean into it so it looks like it's a big deal.
Yeah, with a little funny baseball cap as well, right?
Yeah, well, and a poncho. You got to have a poncho, too.
And a poncho, yeah.
Well, Rick DiMaio, wow, I got an earful. I appreciate that. I feel better. I feel invigorated.
You got some refute statements on Twitter.
Although some people are refuting.
They're saying, with all due respect, what is wrong with 4 million people being prepared for power outage? 10 people died, could have been higher. And another person said, overhyping may sound silly, but how many idiots, true this, would have been standing on the beach watching this storm? Fear of God.
None. You know what, Heather? It's easy to say those things, and I totally agree with those tweets coming in from an outside perspective. But for the people living in that New York City, New Jersey area, you know, put out by all these evacuations, I think those are people going, I didn't need to be in this situation. There's nothing worse than leaving your house when you don't have to. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make here.
Well, Rick DiMaio will agree to disagree, and I think we'll be hearing more about this. I think this is good. It's good, though, for us to examine how we cover these things and, you know, if we're going to devote the whole night and day to it.
10 people dying in a hurricane is 10 too much. 4 million people without power is 4 million too much. But what I'm saying is, go with what the storm is giving you. Don't try to make it worse. And I think that's what happened in this situation.